Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today, I'm joined by Sigrun Gudjonsdottir, an award-winning business coach, entrepreneur, and global leader in helping women build scalable online businesses. Sigrun is known for her direct, no-nonsense approach and her mission to accelerate gender equality through female entrepreneurship. And I hope in this conversation, we're going to take a look at what really takes to grow a successful business without losing the personal connections that make it possible and meaningful, and why relationships become even more important at scale. So, welcome to the show. And I'm sorry if I butchered your last name, but I'm not going to say it again. So, we're all good. But I did learn something from asking you about it. So, first of all, welcome, Sigrun, to the show.
Thank you for having me, Janice. It's a pleasure.
I love how you just emailed me, I think, as I recall. And you are Icelandic, living in Zurich part of the time and Reykjavik in the other part of the time. A world traveler, Europeans tend to be more cosmopolitan than we North Americans ever are, I think. I'm going to ask you, how many languages do you speak?
I speak fluently three. And then I could say that I also speak Danish besides Icelandic, German and English, but no, not really. Yeah.
See, that's two more than I speak. So to start with anyway, because we just don't have that same need, I guess, because we speak English and everybody in Europe that doesn't speak English as a first language always seems to learn it. So yeah, it's fascinates me. Anyway, all right, to dig right in, I want to ask you, first of all, that you have about your bold mission around accelerating gender equality through entrepreneurship. So let's get into what led you to this work. Let's start there.
Yeah. Well, I born and raised in Iceland, and we have been leading in gender equality for quite some time. The last 17 years, WEF has recognized us as being number one.
Wow.
Not because we have achieved it. It's because everyone else is worse. But I still grew up feeling like I could do anything. I was raised in the belief that girls, women can do anything. So I was a bit shocked around the age of 16 when I decided to do a course. My hobby was sewing and knitting because I got that from my grandmother and mother.
Sure.
And I became very passionate about sewing. And by the age of 16, I was very good at it. So I wanted to learn how to make my own clothes. And for that, you need to learn how to do a pattern.
Yes.
And so I did a course at a dressmaker's home, and we were about eight women, but I was 16. My parents had to drive me there. You only get the driver's license with 17 in Iceland.
Okay.
They had to drive me there and pick me up in the evening. But the other women, they were in their 40s and 50s. And so we did not have much in common except that hobby. And so middle of the evening, if this was an evening course, we would take a break and they would drink their coffee. I would drink my Coca-Cola, and I listened to them. And what I heard shocked me because they shared about dreams that they had not made come true. And then they started to share why they had not made their dreams come true. And it was the typical things that we still hear today. I got married. I had kids. I didn't have the education. I didn't have the skills. And on after weeks, it turned me into a feminist. I really became super passionate. I like, I don't want to be like these women. I want to make my dreams come true. So I took a few decisions. First of all, I want to make my dreams come true. Second, I decided not to have children. Now, I do believe women can have both.
Yeah.
But something was like, I was just furious that society held women back. Or I mean, it's a combination, what they believe and what society is reflecting back to them. I did get bonus children. They were 24, my stepsons, and they're now 21 and 22. So I do think I did a good job.
Okay,
And
fair
I do
enough.
not regret getting bonus children, but
Yeah.
at the age of 16, this felt like a very logical decision based on what I was hearing.
Yeah, but a big one for a 16-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah, I was never into dolls. I mean, so I think it was a combination of what I had played with. My mom really wanted me to have dolls, and I could choose anyone I wanted. And I was like, I want the black one there. There was one black one out of hundreds. So I just, and then I started to play with the cars that my brother had. So
Yeah.
I think I was just never that type. Third decision was that I would do something about it. You know, I didn't know what, but one
Yes.
day I would do something about it. Yeah, but these are actually four decisions because I decided to follow my dreams. Yeah, no, sorry. The fourth decision was I would never have a man stop me.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think for a woman, the choice of a husband plays a crucial role in what is possible for her later on. Just having a husband that believes in you and supports your dreams, however crazy they might seem, has been really important to me. I got married quite late. Met my husband. I was at 38. It has helped a lot.
So you had that time to pave your way. You took a
Yeah.
lot of school. I know that you
Yes. My
made,
mother's like, you don't need another degree. And I'm like, yes, I need another
you
degree.
armed yourself also
I
on all
armed myself.
sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was determined that I would take care of myself. I never wanted to rely on someone. So I did believe in love. I did not reject
Fair
men
enough.
or marriage, because my parents are my best role models. They met when they were 13. They're
Wow.
now turning 81.
Yeah. They
And
looked lovely. I saw a picture of them and
yeah,
look healthy
and
and yeah.
so I had the best role model. So I believed in love, but I want to make sure that it would not be a love that would then, keep me in prison
Stifle
and not,
you. Yeah.
stifle me in some shape or form. But this was a turning point. And then, of course, for a while, I didn't do anything special about the gender equality topic, but it definitely guided me in terms of relationships, in terms of decisions I was taking along the way. And I studied architecture. It was my dream to become an architect. But then I realized I didn't want it anymore. I still finished, so I'm a licensed architect, but
Okay.
I decided to move into computer science because as I am approaching graduation in architecture, the virtual world comes out. We can do VRLM, not just HTML, we can do VRLM. And I got totally fascinated about doing 3D worlds that you could just walk in, I mean, virtually with an avatar. The whole thing never took off. I still today is not taking off, but I was doing cutting edge things back in 98, 99, and I loved it. But I realized what I was doing was not very practical, but it led me to computer science, and then I started to work in software companies. I was just a project manager there, and then the boom came, and people were let go, and then I had to kind of redesign my job. So I joined a business course for 3 months, evening course, and there I created a business plan. And with the business plan, I went to a company and said, "Hire me," because I didn't dare to start a business yet.
Oh, so that wasn't in the works yet. You never thought of working for
No,
yourself. Okay.
I did not really see myself as an entrepreneur. We
Okay.
hear these stories of people that were selling when they were six. They were selling cards and stuff, and
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
oh, okay. So then I'm not an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Yeah, and these are just beliefs. These are not facts or
Right.
truth. It's you carry with you these beliefs. So I was like, no, it. And I felt it was risky.
Yes, of
Now,
course. Yeah.
now I take much bigger and riskier decisions. But you gotta first learn. You gotta first
Yes.
learn it. So I got that job, and it turned out to be a blessing working at the small software company because a year later, The company sold. There is a businessman in Iceland that kind of owned a lot of companies, and he decided to sell them all in one go to another business guy that owned a lot of companies. So for the next 2 weeks, nobody contacted us. We were too small to be contacted. They just focused on some big companies that needed to be dealt with. And I started to have this crazy idea. I could become the CEO. I had no
Ah.
business background, no business education except that 3 month evening
Yeah.
course. But, at first I was just putting it away, and then it came back again and again. And I think when you have a good idea and you're meant to do it, it comes back to you.
Sure.
At some point, you have to act on it, of course.
Yes. So
That's how
you,
I ended up being a CEO and did that for
so
10 years.
that was you developing what we call in the best way to describe that is a Yiddish word, chutzpah. When you had the chutzpah or the nerve to do that, and that took you on a new path in a way, right? Because you became the CEO.
Totally.
Yeah.
I
Interesting.
was lucky with the guy who, he was not the main guy who had bought the business. He was like a part owner, but he became my mentor. And
Oh, okay.
there's a part of me that doesn't believe in luck. Maybe it's destiny. Who knows what you want to call it? But suddenly I was there with a small company, 15 people only, but it was had been losing money for 7 years. And I had never run a business before, but I have common sense. So I'm
Yes.
like, the business cannot be losing money. I have to turn it around. My mentor gave me some tips, but he didn't run the business. He knew nothing about software. He was from retail, I mean selling fruit and vegetables. So he just was very good with numbers, but he
Yeah.
says you need to turn this company around, and I'm like, okay.
Okay.
And so I took the binders from the from the bookkeeping department, took with me home, and that was my evening reading. Luckily, at the time, I was not married or in a
Right.
relationship, so I could dedicate myself 100% to this task. And by looking through the books, I learned bookkeeping. I discovered some assets that were not public. I discovered, for instance, a massive voucher we had with a media company, and I'm like, and then I went to my boss, the owner of the business, and I
Yeah.
said, can you turn this into cash? I mean, you have some connections that I don't have. And he said, great, he'll do that. So he was able to turn some of it into cash. We owed so much money. They should have closed us down, pension
Wow.
funds and stuff. But we had a pension fund with a bank. And at the same time, my programmers were working for the bank. So I had an idea. I called up the bank and I said, I owe you some money. It was a different department, so the department we were working for didn't know about it. But I said, I explained the thing. I said, we owe money there. We are working for you over there. Can we make a deal that I get half paid and half goes there and we keep on working together? And they agreed to it. And so I just kept, maybe
Yeah.
it was even better that I was not business educated because I didn't
Yeah.
know what was okay or not
Yeah.
okay. And I just kept on being creative,
Yeah.
extending payment terms, or if I owed someone a lot of money and there were interest on it, I'm like, if I pay you today, will you have the interest go away?
Yeah. So you were just you it's sort of that innocent yeah, piece that gets you what you need to, you're not afraid to ask because there's nothing to lose, really. You've never had to experience it before. It's great. I love it. Yeah.
And so while I'm doing this, I am my computer science, I'm doing computer science on the side, but of course I take a bit of a break during this whole thing because this is a more than a full-time job, a
Yeah.
turnaround. I successfully turned the company around, and then my boss says, okay, I have another company for you, 75 employees, and I'm like, okay. That one was hopeless. I mean, I tried my best for a few months and I saw this was a big bite.
Right.
And they had supply chain, they had logistics, they had a retail store. It was much more complicated than a simple software company. And at some point, I said to my boss, this is not going to work out.
Yeah.
Or at least I'm not the right person for it because it felt way, I think they had waited way too long with the whole thing. So, but I had done a good job with the other business, he sent me back to that company, and I'm like, oh, going back to the small business, that feels a little bit like a downgrade. But then I saw my chance. I said, I would like to have an MBA. And there's a great MBA in London. And he was doing some business in London, so he was kind of open to it. I'm like, this is my bonus for turning around the other company. So you're going to pay for
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And before I started my MBA, I said, oh, I have to finish the computer science because I don't like unfinished things.
Yeah.
And so I rushed through the summer finishing the last subjects and my thesis and
Wow.
managed to graduate just in time for the other degree.
Well,
Yeah.
you're obviously a lifelong learner and love to learn and be in those situations. So when did you leave to start your own business?
So I had met my husband in London just
Okay.
after I'm wrapping up my studies. He is Swiss British. We speak English together, although
Yeah.
we both speak German. And I decided to follow him to Switzerland. I had actually lived 1 year in Zurich during my studies, and so it wasn't so foreign to me. And I did get a job here after looking for a long time. But then I got sick from that job, and I got neck pain. I still have it today. This is 16 years later.
Wow.
I'm going through some therapy to try to reduce the pain. But I didn't realize right away that I was getting pain from that work. But in hindsight, it was very clear. The table was a bit higher and chair a little bit lower, and I'm not the tallest, so that proportion, they didn't work. So I was holding up my arm a bit, I mean, just maybe even half a centimeter or a centimeter.
Yeah.
And you do that for a year and you work 9 hours a day at a desk with not much movement. And of course, I was also lazy doing fitness
Yeah.
myself. And ultimately, the pain is just gonna go
Oh,
there
dear. Yeah.
and it goes into not just the neck, it went into the shoulder, into
Sure.
my arm, into my ear. And
Oh.
worst thing is the headaches. I mean, you can kind of live with some pain in your body, but the headaches, just at some point I had headache, not just on Friday or Thursday or Friday, it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is work related. And at some point it just didn't go away. So I was 7 months on sick leave, and I tried everything to figure out what this was. My conclusion, this is actually from a friend based in San Francisco. He wanted to have a Skype call with me. We had Skype back then. Yes,
Yeah, yeah.
and then typically an American will ask, how are you doing? And you're supposed to say, I'm fine. And
Fine, yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not fine. I have this pain. And he's like, oh, this is RSI, repetitive strain injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you have this monotone movements again and again, and especially if you have a my posture isn't the best. I was born with a exaggerated S curve, so there's not much you can do except just try to focus on your posture. But it happens also more to people that are ambitious and focused, and the A type of people.
Yeah.
So you cannot just blame it on like my employer, although they
No.
have a part in it with the long hours and
Yeah.
wrong office equipment. It's also me just being
Well, you weren't aware of
somehow.
it because you weren't focused on you. You're focused on what you were
No,
doing.
I had no
Yeah,
idea.
for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, gradually I became well enough to do something. I mean, to work
Yeah.
again, even
Yeah.
though the pain is still there. And then I got a job that as a country manager for Icelandic software company in Switzerland. And then I got used to home office and I loved it. This
Yeah.
is long before COVID.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am liking this. Even if I'm a social person, I really like just
I felt that
waking
way
up in the
too.
morning.
When for me it was COVID that did that, but yeah, totally.
But I had to drive to the customers sometimes for an hour, and they were schools. And I had to do some cold calling. So these two things, I was like, I'm getting pain from the driving, and I really hate cold calling.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. I don't want to, convince anybody of having a meeting with me. And oh, really? So ultimately, I suggested that they let me go. And then I was unemployed. And then I went to the unemployment office and they said, "You're unemployable." So they actually suggested that I start a business. It was not
You're too
like
overqualified, probably, for anything.
I had started to think about it, but they pushed me and said, "We'll support you for 4 months without you having to look for a job if you start your own business. But after 4 months, we cut all benefits." And that's how I started my
Started.
business, more out of a need than desire, but obviously, of course, happy with doing it.
You know, it's funny because I don't know if I just read it somewhere or heard somebody say it, but probably it was on social media. But somebody was asking, what do you think the average age of somebody is that starts their own business, the entrepreneurial thing? And the answer was 42. Like in your 40s is when the most success comes from being an entrepreneur. And but I think it's obviously there's more to it than that because you have to, know what you're doing or have the mindset and the you have to want to work, do your own thing. Because like I think it's a perfect time for one of my daughters who's having real issues finding a job because she got laid off along about a year ago. But she doesn't feel, I don't think, that she knows or wants to do her own thing. And yet she needs to have flexibility because she has a little girl that needs her, but she needs to do something. She needs to support herself too. So it's just that's she needs the flexibility of working from home, which she did with the other jobs that she's had. But doing it on your own is a bit scary. Anyway, let's talk a bit about you've worked with that with women globally, thousands of women who are starting their own businesses, who want to scale their businesses. They are working for themselves. What would you say separates those who succeed from those who struggle when it comes to growing their business, building relationships along the way, all of the good stuff that it takes to be successful?
I would say, well, first of all, you need to have a positive attitude. You cannot be an entrepreneur. I mean, I think it's kind of built into the whole thing is that you got to believe the best is going to happen. Otherwise, you wouldn't start the journey. So you shouldn't look at all the details. If you start to look at all the details that lay ahead of you,
You
you're
won't
just
do
going
it.
to retreat and not do it. So it's having a little bit, what do you call the rose
Rose-colored
glasses?
glasses.
Rose-colored glasses.
Well, that's why
It's
they
like,
call entrepreneurs the visionaries, right? It's the big picture.
So we see the big picture. It's good to ignore the details because if you know all the details, you're not going to start
Okay,
this
fair
journey.
enough.
So it's having a little bit this, not Pollyanna mindset, but optimistic mindset. Always having the glass half full. There's a solution to every problem. I mean, business is a series of problems that you just look at positively rather than seeing it as a negative word. I would say then that's the first thing. And the second thing is perseverance. I mean, this is not a sprint. It is this long game. And if one way doesn't work, then you try another way and then you try another way. And the sad thing is people come in like all excited sometimes into a program and want to learn how to do this. But then something doesn't work out. And instead of picking themselves up and trying it again or trying a different method, they blame the program or the coach or just like, I'm not cut out for this. But
Can you
I think
tell?
anyone can do it if they have the stamina.
So can you tell when, well, I guess you probably don't. Do people just sign up for your courses and then you see them when they're already in? But can you tell who you think's going to make it through and who isn't pretty quickly?
Well, yeah, definitely it's an attitude thing. I mean, sometimes I come to a call and there's a lot of women. Sometimes I run calls and there's 100 women on a call and I look at their faces and I see someone that's just smiling, they're eager, excited, they just want to know what to do next. I'm like, this person is going to make it because they're in a positive mindset, and they're willing to learn, and they're eager to know what's next, versus someone who looks at everything critical and try to find flaws in your teachings. I mean, they're not going to make it.
Yeah, no, that's, I can see that. So you're saying something though that makes me think, I don't know where I read it about you, that you studied Tony Robbins, and there was somebody else. Who was the other one?
I am a Dale Carnegie certified trainer as well.
Oh, are you? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And all of those thought leaders back in the day that were teaching us about that positive thinking and about being the best we can be, and so on. Did you ever hear of Jim Rohn?
Yes,
He
very
was,
much, yeah.
oh, he was like amazing. And
Yeah.
he was Tony Robbins' mentor, I think, and that's where
Yeah,
he started from.
exactly.
So people that work on themselves and grow, with personal self-help and personal development, I think that's where a lot of, I interview a lot of people, and I think those that are self-employed and successful entrepreneurs, they seem to have worked on themselves.
Yeah, very much
Right?
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you also want to have relationship, which clients are relationship, like you
Yeah.
need to build a relationship to someone who's not a client, and then they become a client. And if you
Yeah.
want them to be repeat clients, you need to have those good relationships. And a part of it is like knowing yourself and then knowing how other people behave. And for me, this started back when I became a CEO the first time. I was a bit nervous. Suddenly, I was the boss of my peers, and
Yeah.
I saw a big ad from Dale Carnegie, "Want to build your self-confidence?" And I'm like, "Yay!" And then I had some friends like build self-confidence. They didn't see anything wrong with my confidence, but I felt I needed to grow
The
into a
role.
leader, which I
Yeah.
had not learned to do yet. And many things are so helpful from that Dale Carnegie experience, but a person's name is the most beautiful word they hear. Like, I'm sure you heard that. Plus, if you talk to someone and you just ask them a lot of questions, and then the other person will say, "Oh, it was so great to talk to you today," they don't even realize that you were not talking at all. You just ask questions.
I
And then
talk
that's what
about,
you do when you're
I know,
interviewing.
I
Yeah.
talk about that all the time when I'm talking about networking, right? If someone leaves that conversation and says, "You were so fun to talk to," and you've said nothing, then you've done your job because you wanted them talking about themselves, and they love to do that. It's so true.
Yeah.
I love the Dale Carnegie thing too, and that brings me to actually talking about names, right? It's like I struggled with your last name and I wanted to get it right. But you gave me the story behind it, and that actually helped. I have to say it did help. But just being, so mentioning somebody's name in a sentence when you just meet them shows it helps you remember their name, but it
Yeah.
also shows, so there's things you can do to make people feel more comfortable along that name thing. So that's great, Sigrun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your approach is often described as tough love. How does that actually strengthen relationships with your clients?
It's being brutally honest when they need it. Without being rude, I mean, it's on the verge of like, am I hurting the person? And but it's what they need to hear in that moment versus everybody else saying, "Oh, this is going to be fine," and that's not what they need to hear to change their life. And that's what I try to do all the time. So I say it's one of my values, tough love. And I remember when I was at this second company trying to do the turnaround that didn't work out, was someone said to me, "You're tough but fair." And I'm like, "That's good. I think
Yeah.
that's a compliment." I
Sure.
mean, yeah. Yeah.
So it's a calculated risk,
Yeah.
but it's also a sign of a good entrepreneur. I mean, you have to take those. You're taking risks is easier as an entrepreneur. I don't know if it's easier. No, that's the wrong term, but you're willing to do it. You're willing to take the risk. And that's with your client to push them along to see the value of not listening to what they want to hear, but isn't going to help them, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I have
that's.
one beautiful example from a long-term client. She's also Icelandic, and she also has blonde hair, and sometimes people think we're sisters, but we're not related at all. We've even checked the DNA database for that,
Oh,
so
wow.
we're not
Okay.
related at all. And she had been a client for a couple of years, and she's originally a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, and so she had this membership and online courses around for dog parents. And I always felt she was just not really taking off. We talk about scaling, and you know, that's
Yes.
my motto, like I
Yes.
help women grow. And she was somehow just stuck in the low figures. And I was like, at some point on a coaching call with other women, so not one-on-one, I said to her, I think if you were really passionate about what you do, you would be more successful. And, you know, and there's also some other context around this, but the thing was, there something was off. I mean, she was just not, I mean, she was doing it. And then she tells me later on, she thought that she had to do this for the rest of her life because it's what she studied. She didn't think she could do something else. It did obviously, you know, I think she broke a bit down, but she respected it and she agreed, but I didn't see her 2 weeks, and then she came back and she said, I took 2 weeks off from this program to kind of get my thoughts together, and I was at home looking around my bookshelf. She had a small bookshelf. I've been to her home. It's a tiny home in Italy. Most of the books were about how to be an author, how to write fiction, and how to self-publish. And yes, there were some dog books there too, but she suddenly had like epiphany.
Oh my goodness.
And she had written one book and self-published it, but not more. She was not educated at all, but she said, I'm going to be a book coach. And so she redid my programs with this approach. And now she's finally crossing the six figures. Finally, finally.
Interesting, but she was educated and from a child, right? Through to getting this degree to be a veterinarian, and she thought she had to be that all her life.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And today, of course, we don't have to, nobody stays with anything for any length of time, it
No,
seems,
I think
right?
you can do whatever you want as long as you maybe are not a doctor or engineer that builds building. I mean, there has to be, but you don't need a degree to be a book coach. And if you're honest about your background, if you say, I have written and published a book, you don't say, I've written 10 books and you've only written one. I mean, if you're truly honest about your experience, I think anyone can do anything.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I often wish that I had learned business skills in school. I learned to be a teacher because that was what I wanted to do when I was in school. And I always wanted to be a teacher. So I taught school. I taught school for 14 years. But then I didn't like the politics that was happening around being a teacher, and I left and I did some corporate training for a while. But then I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I took, like, you took a 3 month course. I took like a 2 week course on how to start your own business because that's all I qualified for. I didn't qualify from like leaving a job because I'd been a contractor as a corporate trainer. So that's how I sort of started on my own. And I didn't know what I was doing. And I wish I had, because you say it's never too late, but I'm kind of on the other end of it now. I don't, excuse me 1 second. There we go. It's just, I wish that one of my daughters is very entrepreneurial and the other one isn't, but the one that is now into corporate America, and it's like, it's killing her. It's killing her. She's works all the time. It's so hard. She's had two businesses of her own, but now she's back working, and learning to be a, she's a VP of business development and marketing in a company, and she's learning to be a leader, but it's killing her along the way. I see it. But anyway, so what are some practical ways, and look, I'm looking at the time. What are some practical ways entrepreneurs can scale their business without losing the human touch? Because it's for me all
I
about
think
that.
this is a very important question right now,
Yes.
because we have AI.
Yes, and I know you're into that, and I did want to touch on that a little bit. So, yeah.
So when you talk about risks before, I just decided to close my programs and start fresh
Okay.
again,
Oh, wow.
1st of May.
This
And
year? Okay.
so the reason is AI. I don't think we can teach in the way we've been teaching. I mean, what typical online course, if someone wants to, be successful online, what I teach them to do is to have a free 4-week course
Okay.
because you can validate it and there's not so much risk. I mean, the people haven't paid you money, so in case you don't deliver, it was free all along.
Okay.
And you build your list, and then I teach them to do a celebration call after the 4 weeks, and there you present the next program, and that's paid. So
Okay.
this is a process I call kickstart.
Okay.
Now I have been asking myself the last 2 years, where are we going with AI and what happens to courses? I do think people still want to learn from human beings, and it's going to be more important than ever that we strengthen relationships also to friends and family, because there's going to be so much flood of AI. I mean, you can barely scroll through social media right
Right.
now, and everybody's somehow AI
Yes.
something.
But yeah.
And so I think we're going to lean more into being as human as possible. We're going to use AI to run our businesses, but we have to, strengthen relationships. So if they have gotten lost along the way, this is where we need to come back in. So I had conversation with my clients, telling them that I'm closing the program and bringing in AI, and they definitely gave me all the feedback I needed to hear, is that they value the human element. They love also, I mean, they need mindset. They say they need that. They doubt themselves. They have insecurities, imposter syndrome, all the things that makes them procrastinate and not do the work. And accountability. So these are super important. So you can have AI as much as you want, but humans don't change that fast. And I actually think after COVID, we haven't fully come back to ourselves. I noticed that with events that I go to, they are not as full as before. When I hosted my own events, I get less people showing up. But I do think AI will push us back to being more human and wanting to meet people and build those relationships.
That's fascinating. But it's, let me just clarify something. When you said you did your previous process was you teach to do a 4-week free program. Is that like once a week, an hour or 2 hours a week? It's not like full blown 4 weeks. It's just over four.
So, and that process still works in the AI world, except you want to do things live. So the way I'm changing personally my program, instead of pre-recording videos and you go on teaching platform and watch it, typical online training, I'm going more to live workshops. That's more the human element. I
Live in
mean,
person or live on Zoom or
well, it's
whatever.
still online mostly.
Got it.
So my 4-week process, or let's say the kickstart process, it starts with you knowing what you want to do, then picking a small example. So if we bring back this client that went from
The dogs.
doing dog parenting to book coaching, C was helping dog parents have good relationships with their dogs, And then you have to pick a little problem that you could solve in 2 hours. And that is a 4-week course.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So the 2 hours, you teach half an hour each week because people don't have the stamina for long
Right.
sessions.
Right.
So more than half an hour, especially if it's a free course, even if it's a paid program, I would say half an hour is more than enough. And then have a Q&A call as well in the same week. So Monday, new module, 30 minutes, Thursday, Q&A call, and that, and then you have a community. So it
That
can be
builds the
Facebook
trust.
group.
Yeah, that builds the trust. Yeah. Okay.
Because you want to give people assignments,
Yeah.
simple tasks to
Yeah.
do, because it takes at least 21 days to change the behavior. So
Right.
if you want the dog to stop barking, for instance, I mean, it's not going to happen instantly in a session. So you give people tasks every week and they start to see the progress. There's a transformation happening.
Right.
And when we feel transformation, there's a trust to the person that helped us
Right.
have this transformation. And so we want to work with that person. It's no
Right.
manipulation, it's just how we work. I mean,
Right.
if someone has helped me, I want to kind of give back. It's a
Right.
reciprocity. Reciprocity,
Reciprocity, yeah.
And so you would rather work with someone and pay them for the next program than
Yeah.
go
Just
again on the
find,
internet and try to
right.
find someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. So I know that you're now you're teaching people to, I know we have to go. I have to, it's gone longer than one should. And I'm so enjoying talking to you. I may have to have you back to learn more about how you're dealing with the AI, because I know you're now teaching people how to build their own bots
Agents,
and their own agents now. Yeah. So, and what do you have a favorite platform of choice? Oh, you built one on your own website, didn't you? Your own.
I was using ChatGPT from the moment it came out in December 22, all the way up to February this year.
Okay.
What happened in February is that all the AI models updated and got vastly more powerful, and now you can have agents and all that
Yeah.
juicy stuff, and you can create your marketing team. And I was working with ChatGPT, I was working on some documents, and it started lecturing me. And you can't do this, and you can't do that. And after a few rounds, few days, I was really sick and tired of it, and I went over to Claude, which I had tried out but was not
Yeah.
using extensively. And this was very funny. I told Claude that I had been working on this document, and Claude just said to me, "Sigrun, you've been thinking about this for a week. Now just send out the email."
You are tough
I'm like,
love. Same
"I
thing.
like it.
Yeah.
Yes." It was treating me exactly like I want to
Yes.
treat my clients. Yeah,
Yeah.
tell them honestly what they should do and don't puff around.
I love it. So I'm about to go over to Claude and test it out because I haven't had time yet, but I've been wanting to. But it's scary because you have to figure out how to get all your thinking over there. Like you know.
It's easy. Claude
Okay.
even has a URL, I think, import memory. So
Ah.
claude.com/import memory, and it tells you exactly what to do to get your memory from another AI tool over.
Love it. Okay. That's my next job. So thank you. Thank you. I think we have to stop because it's been such a long conversation, but I'm definitely excited about it. It was amazing. And that just from you reaching out to me and us having a short conversation last week, I love it. Thank you so much. Inspiring and interesting. And I really appreciate your perspective on, you know, building a successful business while staying grounded in relationships, because that to me is so important. We didn't get into this, but as much as I think we should have, but that's why I said maybe next time, about the empowering women to build million-dollar online businesses. Women, it's about, you know, you had a post the other day, which I loved, and it said female entrepreneur, and you crossed out the word female, and like, why do we have to say that? And I love that conversation, and I think we should have one in the future about that, because it's still happening, right? It's still
Yes, I
happening,
know. And with
right?
AI, women are falling behind there too, which is
Yes.
that's why my mission is shifting
Yes.
over to business and AI and
I
not
see
just.
that. Yes. Amazing. So People can find you at sigrun.com, correct?
Sigrun.com is my website, but I
Oh,
also have
right.
a gift for your listener.
Yes, please tell.
It's sigrun.com/ the name of this podcast. So
Right,
relationship
relationships
rule.
rule. And your book is there, I think.
Yes. You
Yes.
can get my book, Kickstart Your Online Business, that describes the Kickstart process in detail. And that's for free
That's
because
amazing.
you're listening to this podcast.
Thank you so much. And to my listeners, I encourage you to go there and do that because Sigrun is a wealth of information and she is just amazing. And it's a different perspective talking to someone from Europe, not North America. And I love it. But yeah, it's so worldwide. The whole thing is just, nothing really different about it. And yet there is. I don't know. But
Yeah.
anyway, thank you again for being here. Thank you for your insights and your wisdom. And to my audience, please, please let us know if you enjoyed this this podcast, and we'll have her come back. And remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.